if you're sitting here and on one screen is this podcast and on the other screen is this like really complicated dashboard of 15 metrics, the first thing you can do is just like drag that to the little trash icon and then let's restart and let's just look at one thing. Yeah. That would be my advice.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is Ryan Watson. He is a partner at Upsource Accounting. He is an experienced operations and finance leader for creative agencies and venture-funded startups. As a partner at Upsource, he helps scaling agencies build better plans, see the future, and drive profits. Could have used you many, many years ago. Prior to Upsource, Ryan led operations and finance for a large influencer marketing and ad agency. Man, I'm going to get around this. Huh?
Ahology.
All right. That's cool. It stumbled me. I should have asked that beforehand.
No, don't worry about it.
Guess what? It's me and all my imperfections. Where he built the team to over 50 people, and that's no joke, at an agency, and $10 million in annual AGI before selling to Quotient Technology, which is publicly traded, QUOT, if you're interested in getting some stock, in June of 2018. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Kenny, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It should be fun.
Absolutely. So, Ryan, tell me, what is on your mind?
What's on my mind? Yeah, good question. So I'd say a thing, I mean, look, that's a loaded question. There's a lot of things on my mind right now, but, not least of which my wife is pregnant and due in like a couple of weeks. And so I'm really getting my head around that. So I'm sorry, third, but from a business standpoint, you know, a thing that we are, I'd say the thing that's on my mind the most frequently, a thing that we're often talking about, here at our firm, this is a way of thinking, a framework of thinking that has, I don't know, it's just kind of hit me in the face in terms of like, so I'll say that, you know, I've read every blog post around like, KPIs for your creative agency, right? Like, you know, this is often the first question that we get when we get a new client, which is like, what should I be looking at? How should I be evaluating my agency? And if you were to try to solve this problem on your own, you'd go read all of the thought leadership around this and you'd read the blog post that says, hey, there's, you know, 20 KPIs here, 18 the 18 most important KPIs you should manage, you know, for your agency, right? And, you know, I've just heard that enough to say like, look, that is not the way that I would have you think about your agency, right? A way of thinking that we've come on to recently is there's probably just one. There's probably just one, maybe two things that you should be really focused on. And the things that you should be focused on are very contextual based on where you are in the life cycle or the growth of your agency. And there's a lot of reasons why I feel that, but I would just say like, this is a thing that just, it keeps coming up. And I'd say as of late, you know, we've tried to formalize our thinking and even improve and change some of the ways we're working with our clients to really get hyper focused on what should you really care about? It's not the 18 things. It's the one or two things.
So you're seeing people are trying to take in all these KPIs and they think they're all important all right now and they've got to implement those. Is that what you're seeing? And if so, how is that hurting agencies in their process and their progress? Because you mentioned the life cycle. So is that keeping them from reaching the next stage?
Yeah, totally. Right. Yeah. So we can get into like this, the life cycle and how we see the world or whatever. But to answer the question directly, like, again, you know, what we see are people who are coming to us and they're trying to help themselves and they're reading the blog post that you and I have read and they're saying, okay, well, the people in the world are saying, these are the, you know, I should have a dashboard. I should have a command center. And that command center has these 15 KPIs on it. And I got to measure each of them, right? I got to look at my gross margin and my utilization rate and my rate per hour, my revenue per FTE. And I got to look at my operating profit, you know, like et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And again, so that's what they're being told and they feel like, okay, I've got to evaluate all of these and I got to react to all of them. And I guess the most like common sense would tell you that like, well, you can't measure and manage to all of them, right? Like there's at some point, there's just too much going on here. But the other like, so there's a number of reasons why I would say this is a bit of a, is challenging. And in some cases it's self-defeating. One of the ways is just like, take for example, okay, let's say I have an agency that has a gross margin problem, right? Like, you know, we like to see agencies north of 50%. Of course, that's just a heuristic. But, you know, if I'm in like the 30% area, I have a gross margin opportunity, right? Okay, well, so, but if I were to look at all these other KPIs, there, and so if my gross margin KPI is flashing red, so are a bunch of others, right? Like my operating profit is also probably not very good. And you know what? My, you know, my revenue per FTE is probably not very good. And there's all sorts of things. And so there's the lack of focus, but there's also just the very human thing when you're looking at a financial dashboard and everything's flashing red and you feel really bad about yourself and you feel like, oh my gosh, there's this like, there's this mountain that I can't possibly overcome. And what I would rather do is just put my head in the sand and just forget it all. Right. And that, to be honest with you, is a real human thing that we see even with our actual current clients, because when the news is bad and it feels like there's no clear path for the news to get meaningfully better, it's like, what's even the point? Right. And so that is a big reason why we like saying, okay, yeah, guess what? Your gross margin's bad. Of course, your operating profit is bad. Of course, you probably don't have enough cash reserves. There's no reason to make you feel bad about this thing that's several steps away from us being able to fix. So let's just focus on the one thing. Let's look at the gross margin problem, right? And let's look at how we might diagnose that. And oh, by the way, so it's 30% this month. What I want to do is 32% next quarter and 35% the quarter after that. How can we just dial into the one thing you should focus on? And how do we build momentum so that when I come to this quote dashboard, I'm seeing good news. I'm feeling like things are going my way. And if I have a dashboard of like the all the things and they're all flashing red, it's like, again, you feel overwhelmed. It's too much, right? And so, again, I think there's just there's a natural life cycle of growth where we like to say, okay, given where you are, where should we focus? And again, we can get into more of the weeds, but that's the reason, right? And it was just one too many clients who just felt overwhelmed and felt defeated and felt like it's not even worth it to say, stop the madness. How do we reframe how we should think about these problems?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. If everything's red, then it feels like you said, what even is the point of addressing? If I can't address all of them, why should I address one of them? I see this quite a bit in what I do with agencies and businesses is we start setting quarterly objectives or annual goals, and they're like, we've got 20 things we've got to address. And I was I said, believe me. And they're like, well, they're all urgent. They're all important. They're all fires. And I said, I don't doubt that, but you can't get to all of them right now.
Can't do them all now.
Maybe solving a couple of these actually solves some others down the line. And so from that standpoint, I'm curious, is it more when you're helping create focus, is it more about, hey, if we solve these things, it gives us a foundation to solve the next thing. Like we can't solve the next thing or this other piece without solving this. Or is it about identifying where can we create maximum impact right now? So for your size company, solving gross margin makes the biggest impact.
Yeah, totally.
But for another one, solving utilization rate and dollar per hour. Yeah. Can you speak to that?
I can. And the short answer is it is both, right? It is both that. So let me make it very, so I'll finish the thought. It is both that, you know, it is what many, all of these things are related, right? And so let's focus on the lowest hanging, highest leverage fruit, and then let's reevaluate the next problem when we're done with that. It's also true that some things are more important than others, depending on where you are. So as I mentioned to you, like we like to segment our agencies into phases of their life cycle. I'll name them quickly and then we'll move past it. But the phases that we look at are what we call create mode. So this is an agency from 0 to 1 million in revenue. And then we look at build mode, right? So we're past a million, like the thing exists, but it's probably got like warts and concentration risk and all sorts of problems, right? So, you know, you're at $1 million and that's build mode. That's where we really work our way through. And I'll, you know, how do we get to this sort of profitable, unit economically viable agency? And that lasts to like, let's say 3 or 4 million in revenue. And then what we call that grow mode. And so, you know, this is an agency that now has like repeatable revenue generation, but it has gotten to the size where like the partners themselves can no longer like bear hug all elements of the agency. And the exercise is really now promoting the next level, the deputies of leaders and giving them the visibility and the accountability and the incentive structure to help, you know, co-run the P&L with you. Then the final stage we call scale mode. That's north of 10 million in revenue. But let me go back to build mode, which is where a lot of agencies are, a lot of our clients are. This is that like 1 to 3 million in revenue stage. When you're in build mode, we run our clients through what we call the hierarchy of financial needs. And the hierarchy of financial needs is kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Which is the premise is I can't worry about self-actualization until I have shelter, right? And so we have kind of the same approach, which is, so our hierarchy of financial needs goes like this. At the very bottom, let's say if it's a pyramid, at the very bottom, solvency, which is like, can I make payroll? Can I make my next payroll? If the answer is I cannot make my next payroll, I don't care about operating profit margin. Of course, that's terrible. That's not the like, but like focusing on my, the things that I might do for operating profit, that is not going to help me find a way in the absolute immediate term to get solvent and be able to like pay my people and keep the doors open. Right. So like that's number one. The next one we look at is project profit or gross margin, right? Am I profitable on a service level? Because again, if I'm not profitable at a gross margin level, I'm also not going to be operating profit margin positive either, right? Like, so those two things are totally linked. So we're going to talk about the thing that's highest leverage. Again, if I have a gross margin problem, then I know I have one of two problems. I have either a utilization problem or a rate per hour problem. And so we're going to live there. The next is cash reserves, right? Okay, now I'm like making money on a per project basis, but can I do that for long enough to stash away enough cash to sort of handle the highs and lows endemic to project-based cash flow? The fourth is operating profit margin, of course. And then the fifth is repeatable or predictable revenue generation. And that's kind of the hierarchy of needs. And once you've gotten to the point where you have cleared all of those things, then you are ready for the next inflection point. You're ready for the next stage. And that stage is what we call grow mode. But the point of that whole thing on top of like the details of them is to say, we're only ever going to look at one of those stages. And when we clear a stage, then we move to the next stage. And we're only ever going to look at that stage because that's how we get you from 1 to 3 million. We don't do it by trying to perfect them all at once.
Gotcha. You're helping them do fewer things well, make that a discipline, get it in their bones, so to speak.
Totally.
So then move on.
And
to
then
the next.
We'll move on to the next one.
Gotcha. So you said something interesting, and I love that. And if you know, I don't know if you have a graphic of those, that hierarchy.
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah.
Like that. If you can shoot that to me, we'll
include it in the show notes. Yeah.
But the thing that was interesting is at the top of the pyramid, you have, you know, repeatable revenue generation, which is sort of, I mean, it's the holy grail for most companies, but service-based companies, in particular agencies, are looking for this. Over the last, I would say, 18 to 24 months, the term RevOps or revenue operations has just grown exponentially in terms of its popularity. I think there's probably a lot of people riding the wave that don't even know what they're saying. And as there are,
as with all
things,
of the waves, yeah, exactly.
Right? And just from my personal experience in the agency world, it would sound like a lot of people are trying to start with repeatable revenue generation and just outsell the expense. And that's the solution. Mm-hmm. What do you say to those businesses, those agencies, those owners who are caught up in that? Because it's very sexy. It's attractive. RevOps.
Totally.
Like there's ops for everything. So what do you say to those
people? That is a great question. I mean, I would say, there's basically two kinds of scenarios you might find yourself in. And I have different opinions for the two scenarios. So one scenario might be, you know, I'm a $1 million or sub-$1 million agency. I provide a multidisciplinary offering. Like I'm making websites, but I need copy and I need strategy and I need design and all that kind of stuff. And so like just the core nucleus of the team, just to be in business, costs me a certain amount of money and I'm not very profitable right now. And the only path out, I cannot cut my way to profitability. I have to grow my way to profitability because I'm just too small to do the opposite. And of course, in those cases, yeah, of course. Like we got to set like an AGI target and we have to go hit it and then we can worry about everything else. But if you're not in that very specific scenario where you're just too small there is a size where it's quite difficult to be like, you know, operating profitable well below $1 million. Like it's just hard to do. You need a certain amount of revenue base to sort of amortize your fixed costs over. But anyways, I sense that's not the example you had in mind. Yeah. And in the other example where like I'm a sustainable agency, I'm just not very profitable. And my answer is I'm just going to grow my way out of it. The short answer is most agencies never do that, right? There's a reason why you're not profitable at this level. And it could be any number of things. It's not quite clear to me. Again, it could be a pricing and scope problem. It could be a utilization problem. It could be an operational efficiency problem. But my guess is, regardless of what the source of that problem is going to scale with you as your revenue scales. And so growing your way out of it is a myth, right? Like it's a mirage. Right. And so you're just going to bring that with you. And so again, my attitude, that's why the repeatable revenue generation is the top of our pyramid, because the implicit understanding is I'm scaling an agency that is otherwise profitable, efficient, and works, right? I don't want to put the cart before the horse and try to scale this thing that I've not nailed down yet.
A couple things that you said. Number one, for those people who maybe the financial part is a weakness for them, or just not something they've done a deep dive into. You mentioned AGI. Can you speak to that quickly?
I can
and
do
then
it.
I have another question.
Okay, yes. So AGI is this like buzzwordy term that if you've been in the agency space long enough, you've heard it. It stands for agency gross income. And it's kind of a fancy way to describe net revenue, basically. But your AGI, your agency gross income, is your gross revenue less your out-of-pocket costs to deliver that revenue. So like, for instance, if you are a media agency, your gross revenue, you know, your client might give you $10 million, but you're going to spend $8 million on ads and you're going to keep $2 million. Your gross revenue might be $10 million, but your AGI is $2 million. That's really the revenue for you. That's what you get to keep. And that's all we care about. The other common subtract from AGI would be freelancers, like project-oriented freelancers. So if I sell a $100,000 web project, but I just know up front that I'm going to have to spend $20,000 on some freelancers, then I have an $80,000 AGI project. And that's the revenue that matters to me as my agency. And that's the thing that's going to pay for all my other stuff. So that's agency gross income.
Gotcha. It's like the real revenue.
It's your real revenue. It's yours.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The other's already spoken for. One of the other things that you spoke about is if you're growing, right, those problems follow you. It makes me think of some wisdom I heard in relation to getting married, right? Uh-huh. Like getting married doesn't solve relationship issues. It is an amplifier, a magnifier. So things that were good become great. Things that were bad become very terrible.
Terrible.
Because you take your problems with you. Like if you're not managing cash flow, if you're not solvent, if you're struggling to make payroll, well, adding, you know, 3, 4, 5 more people and another $500,000 to $1 million in gross revenue to try to keep up with that isn't going to solve it. You're just going to bring that same problem, but make it bigger.
Make it bigger. It's going to add to your stress.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it's really like get healthier before you get bigger.
It's yeah.
Better before bigger.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, I think you've kind of nailed the, I think you've nailed the analogy. You're also, I think the other thing that to keep in mind is that there's all, you know, there are a set of problems that are somewhat unique to each stage, right? So in the create stage, the problems are predominantly like sales and service. Like, you know, what is my positioning? What do I even, you know, exist to do? What is my right to be in the world? And how do I find a way to like service that up to $1 million, right? And so if you don't solve that problem in the $1 million phase, you're going to bring that problem to a new phase with its own new problem. So the new problems in that build mode phase are now profitability related, right? Which are how do I get solvent and how do I get gross margin profitable and how do I get net margin profitable? And if I don't solve those problems, I'm going to just bring all those problems to the next phase, which is in our case, grow mode. And at grow mode, the problems look more like operational and personnel. And so like when you hit, and I have seen this movie like a bunch of times, I've lived through this movie actually, which is like you hit like, I don't know, 3 or 4 million in revenue and things just start to break. Like employees are maybe just a little less happy and clients start to churn when they didn't normally. And there's just, you got, you know, churn problems and morale problems. And it's like, it becomes, it's this thing where you know, it's like you as the ownership or the leadership are now like several levels of separation away from the actual work right. and decision making happening. And there's strain here and people are feeling like they need to run and you're a bottleneck or you're holding them back and they just don't have the autonomy to do it. And it's just because you've not empowered those people to take the governor off and actually help you scale the agency. But that is its own challenge. That is a very tricky thing that I've seen agencies, you know, 8 to 10 million struggle with. But my point is, if you take an unprofitable agency into the 3 to 4 million range, you've got to deal with all of these things all at once. Right. Don't do that to yourself. Right. So that's the, that's part of the reason.
Gotcha. So the thing that comes to mind is when somebody's listening and they say, okay, Ryan, this is brilliant. It's perfect. You just described how I'm feeling, what I'm going through, what I've been seeing. You gave me language. Beautiful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
When does it make sense for an agency to bring in a group like Upsourced? You know, because there's no shortage. I mean, the fractional market is exploding.
Totally.
But as a matter of fact, I had a conversation yesterday with somebody who was asking me, you know I need a fractional second in command, but I also need to hire a coach. You know, which one should come first and how should I hire in this help?
Yeah.
What's sort of that ideal timing for someone to bring in someone like you to speak into it to where you're not, I got $100,000. I need a CFO. No, you don't. Right.
Yeah. Trust me. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So totally. Can you help people understand that timing?
Yeah. Great question. So look, every phase kind of needs its own thing, right? So in the create mode stage, the 0 to 1 million, like, is not really the time for you to bring in like, you know, high powered financial expertise necessarily. What you do need is just some compliance, right? Like, of course you have to file your taxes. You're going to need financials that are there for, you know, decision making for sure. But their purpose is really more for maintaining the compliance and setting yourself up for, you know, the true financial management when you're just a little bit bigger. And so, you know, again, you in that early stage, you just want to stay lean, you want to save some money, and you want to avoid some regulatory pitfalls. And so you're going to need some help there. And that looks like CPA accounting firms. We offer a little bit of help in that area. But, you know, again, you're just trying to stay lean and you're trying to get to $1 million because there are very few problems I cannot solve for you at $1 million. The only problem I can't solve for you is getting you there. Right. Like that you have to do. You have to do. So so then I'd say that inflection point when you're like, okay, we're here, we've made it, but man, we did it with shoestring and bubble gum, and this just feels tenuous. That is the point where hiring a firm like ours to work you through some version of like the hierarchy of financial needs and getting you to the point where you're now a $3 million profitable agency with predictable revenue growth. Like that's a really great, that's the first inflection point that folks often hire us for. And then, you know, again, I'd say the second inflection point, which is where you start to enter build mode where, you know, you're profitable, but you know, again, things start to break or whatever. That's another stage where you really need to bring in, again, in that first stage is kind of controllership. We can help you with reporting. We can do some advisory. This stage looks like CFO, like once you're at 3 or 4, like having a person who can serve as a CFO, very helpful. But again, to your point, like, look, a CFO who knows what they're doing in this space is a few $100,000. Like you're not getting one for $100,000. I mean, you're just not. You're getting like a bookkeeper basically who's has a high ceiling. And so you don't need to spend $300,000 on a CFO as a $3 million agency. Don't do that, right? Like you only need, you know, a couple hours or a few hours of their time in any given week. So just pay for what you need. And that's why fractional models work. And that's why a firm like ours is really helpful. So, you know, like we really excel at that 1 to 10 million range. We've got a handful of clients above 10 million at the scale mode. And that's kind of its own sort of animal. but if you find yourself in that range, like whether it's us or somebody else, like I'd really encourage you to seek the right sort of partnership and level of help, because I think you could really benefit from it.
Absolutely. That's really good. Cause that was a confusing part for me when I was an agency owner, is when's the right time to bring on the right kind of help. So I'm going to, I have a question for you, or going to ask you to speak on something that is going to feel a bit like a free commercial or whatever, what have you. But I told this to your content team when we were talking earlier this week, is when I landed on your website and I started reading through just the way your group thinks about helping these agency owners, because agency owners, they're visionary. They're, you know, they love big ideas, and then they're in the creative space, right? Like, I mean, you work there, you've seen how all that works. They're a different breed.
Yep.
And accounting, CFO, financials has a reputation for sort of being that ultra restrictive. It's not even focusing the energy. It's just you're going to be a wet blanket on my enthusiasm for growth.
Yep.
But it seems like you're really taking a position against that and saying, no, we'll help you look into the future. Can you talk a bit about that? Because, I mean, I'm not joking. I wish I would have found y'all earlier in my career, because that's what I kept asking my CPA and other financial advisors and people for, but they just wanted to tell me how to run a budget and that I shouldn't spend money. And I was like, that's not helpful.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, well, hey, you're right. You did wonderful. You said it better than I could have said it. I'm gonna you're hired.
Yay!
just kidding. But yeah, I mean, look, that's what we set out to do, right? Like, you know, we are accountants, and so look, our lens is accounting. But quite frankly, we're not selling accounting, right? Like, we're not selling compliance. We're not selling financials. We are selling what we can do with it. The context of meeting, like, how do we take that information, financial and non-financial, and how do we help you make decisions? I think it really boils down to, like, we're operators at heart, right? Like, everybody has their lens. Like, I self-describe, like, yes, I'm an accountant, but I didn't get into accounting to be an accountant, right? Like, I've always been, and we are all at Upsource very passionate about small business, and especially agencies. Like, that's what gives us energy. How do we help our agencies be successful? Accounting is just like our reason to be in the room, right? Like, it's our lens. It's how we see the world. But our job here is not to, like, produce the world's most accurate financial statements for you. Our job is to produce the kind of financial statements that can help you make the decisions you need to make. And so we always have a very pragmatic view of, like, we're not dogmatic about anything, right? Like, we like to talk about accrual accounting. So we, you know, recognize revenue when you earn it. But, like, we will do it any number of ways. And our job is to balance, like, what do you really need versus, like, what is the effort required to do it? Because, again, our job is not to produce financial statements. Our job is not to file your tax return. Our job is to help you grow your agency. That's it. And that's we never lose sight of why we're here. Accounting and finance is just the way that we can help you do it.
Gotcha. I love that. I think it's definitely needed in the space.
Yeah.
So you've gone over quite a bit, but that life cycle stage, really identifying those, what are the characteristics of those? And that's something that's been resonating. Another interviewee was talking about life cycle stages using a predictable success. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
And they have some great literature that is really about when. And that's what I'm starting to see with people who are out in front, like you and Upsourced and a few others, is talking about the timing of things. And that seems to be where the next forefront is if you get the timing right, a whole lot can go right for you. And so just to recap, we have on the stages. So we have create, and then up to 1 million, we have the build. Like that 3-4 million create, you know, you're getting up close to that 10 million. 10 million is holy cow. No, it's
that's scale mode.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I you know, that's a very, scale mode is very, that's a very conscious decision. Like, we have many clients who don't have any interest in that, right? Like, scale mode is, I've built a pretty big business. Now I'm making a conscious choice to become a really big business, 10 to whatever it is, 50 or 100. And some agencies are highly motivated for that. But many are just like, I got it here to do cool work with great friends. And I, you know, I'm happy where I am. Like, I can make plenty of money at 5 or 6 or 7 million. And things change a lot north of 10 million. We've seen that firsthand. So it's its own animal.
Yeah, for sure. So what would you say to that listener, in particular, the agency owners listening, if they wanted to take their first step sort of towards that financial health? Right. And that hierarchy of needs, short of going out and reaching for you, maybe it is, they need to call you
sure.
that level, but what's something they could do in the next 24 hours to just take a step towards better financial health?
Yeah. Well, I think my advice is going to be all about, like, we have to figure out what's the one thing? Like, what's the story here for my agency right now? What is the one thing? There are many things, but like, what is my one thing, right? Is my one thing? Solvency is my one thing. Focusing on project profit. But if it's project profit, is it really utilization or is it really like rate per hour / scoping? Is it really working on building a cash reserves? Like, there's just one thing. And that's the goal, is figuring out that one thing. Hopefully what we've talked about in this podcast is somewhat helpful in trying to help you determine your one thing. We've got a YouTube channel full of all kinds of content that gets a little bit more like granular about like how you might go through that. So maybe that would be helpful for you. Obviously, firms like ours can help you do that. But that would be my advice, is like, if you're sitting here and on one screen is this podcast and on the other screen is this like really complicated dashboard of 15 metrics, the first thing you can do is just like drag that to the little trash icon and then let's restart and let's just look at one thing. Yeah. That would be my advice.
I love that. I think the focus is a key differentiator between those that are really successful and those that are just producing a lot of activity. So you mentioned the YouTube channel, but if people are wanting to learn more about you, about Upsourced and consume some content or reach out and connect with you or the team, where would you send them?
Great question. So our website is upsourcedaccounting.com. So that's a great place to find us and connect with us. And again, the YouTube channel is just at Upsourced. Both of those places are great, great sources for content and ways to interact with us. So we'd love to help.
Absolutely. And you also have, we'll put the link to your LinkedIn in the show notes.
Oh, yes.
So
yes,
if anybody wants to follow you, connect with you, so we'll have that there. And shameless self-promotion, the podcast is pretty good. In particular, there's an episode with a guy who looks a lot like me.
One of our favorite ones. Definitely highest reviewed. So
6 out of 5 stars. I don't know how they managed it, but it was really cool. Apple made an exception. But they did. In all seriousness, go put on the play next for their podcast. They're coming out with great stuff that can help you learn and accelerate and maybe help you get to the point of where you can come and hire Ryan and his team of experts. But Ryan, thank you so much for joining us, and we're cheering for you and hope that you get to help a whole lot of people have success.
Awesome, Kenny. Thanks. It's been fun. Appreciate you having me.